Red Business with Jonathan Healy.
Hi there. Thanks very much for joining us on this episode. Let's get a bit crafty, shall we? August Craft Month celebrates craft in all of its forms, from traditional to contemporary, highlighting the vibrant local craft scene right across the county and indeed the island. Here, Cork Craft and Design brings together the very best of Cork's unique local craft and design tradition. There's 80 events planned over the course of the next month, and we're going to look this episode at a couple of businesses that are doing incredible things. But first of all, I'm joined by the Managing Director of Cork Craft and Design, James McConville, who's going to give us an overview of what's happening. Hiya, James.
Hello, Jonathan. How are you keeping?
I'm very well. We've covered this in previous years, and it's just a brilliant coming together of the artists we have right across Cork County.
Oh, totally. And this is our 15th year, actually, as Cork Craft and Design celebrating Cork Craft Month. So it's a really nice milestone to be able to share with everyone locally, to be honest.
You've been championing local craft for years. You have 100 makers involved. The Douglas Woolen Mills is central to all of this, isn't it?
It is. It's our flagship. Now, for the month of August, we're going to have a pop-up in Douglas Court as well to showcase more of our makers. But the flagship store is actually down in Douglas Woolen Mills beside on the Pig's Back. So if anyone's local, they can hop in and come to see us. We're open from Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6.
And you can get some good grub while you're there as well. Pop in next door.
Exactly. And check out the artwork that's on the walls as well, because we also have a gallery happening there in the space as well.
Are you surprised every year by how much is out there when it comes to people who are plying their trade and making a living off arts and craft?
I think it's amazing, to be honest, and it's really a vibrant scene. I just met with a maker this morning who is, we're constantly getting applications for people to come in, and I'm always welcoming new disciplines to come in and speak with us about what they can do. But it's a really great scene, and it's very vibrant, and it's lovely to be able to share that with the local community, because it is those people that keep the lights on for us as well. So I really appreciate all the support we get in Cork. And to be able to share that with everyone in this month of celebration is a great thing.
Now, it's not just Douglas, of course. There's going to be different venues right around the county, from Fermoy down to Ballydehob. So what can people expect over the course of the next few weeks?
So, yeah, we have a lot of core events, some to just bring people's attention to. So we have Glimmers down in Kinsale. So that's at the James O'Neill building. And that is a member showcase exhibition. We also have Emerge for the new makers coming through. So that's in Grand Parade. And that's from the 3rd to the 24th of August. And the reception for that, the opening reception, is on the 2nd of August. We also, very exciting news is that we are at the National Design and Craft Gallery down in Kilkenny. So we were very lucky to be able to present our maker's work down there at an exhibition called Past, Present and Future Perfect. So that will run from the 10th of August until the 31st of October. So it's quite a long one, and people can go down and check out the work. And that's going to be curated by Ava.
Yeah, so it's incredible the amount of stuff that's going on. There's no shortage of, I was going to say artists, but they are artists in many ways, people who come together to ply their craft. And it's all reasonable, it's all local, and it'll make a great addition to whoever's home is out there.
100%. I mean, there's workshops as well that are running, so you can choose between pottery. We have batik, making your own timber toys. The list goes on and on. But the great thing about that is that a lot of those are free opportunities. And there's also open studios as well. So people can actually go in and see the makers or the artists in their in situ, really. So they can see them actually working and creating the pieces at the time.
It makes them sound like they're animals in photo, but I know what you're trying to do there. Yes, I can see where you're coming from. Now, the idea of the Craft and Design Month was something that began in Cork, but like all good ideas, it's been robbed by elsewhere around the country now, has it?
100%. Now, as you can tell, I'm probably not the best advocate for talking about this coming from the north, but this is an island-wide event. If you don't necessarily have to be in Cork to enjoy it, is what I would say. There's plenty that people can check out. If you go to August Craft Month on the internet, just do a quick search for that, you'll be able to find the events listings. And even just more locally, if you go down onto our website, so if you go to corkcraftanddesign.ie, you'll see the events calendar for everything that we're running throughout the month.
And a lot of the stuff, I mean, there are things you pay for and it's good value, but a lot of the stuff is actually for free. And you can have a look at the website, which I'm doing right now, and then see there's lamps and there's pottery and there's cups and there's mugs and there's painting. You can have a look and see if something tickles your fancy. You mightn't have to pay for it.
100%. I mean, that's kind of what this is about as well. It's to showcase and to share the love of craft with the wider community, because the feedback we get is that people are really interested in it, but they might not know where to begin with it. So just going to one of those free events is a great place to start.
Well, we're going to speak to some of the artists right now, but James McConville, Managing Director of Cork Craft and Design, corkcraftanddesign.ie for the full listing. Thanks for talking to us, James.
Thanks so much, Jonathan.
So first off, we're going down to Whitechurch. Brendan Ryan Ceramics is the company. It designs intricate model houses using just a photograph, and they're often commissioned to create places of interest that hold a special place in someone's heart. And it has been a fantastic journey that Brendan has been on. I'm delighted to say he's with us now. Brendan Ryan, how are you?
How are you, Jonathan?
I'm very well. I've seen these, Brendan, and they're just remarkable, because I don't know how you go about describing them, but they are beautiful little replicas. But what are they made out of?
They're ceramic, so they're made out of clay, and they're raku-fired. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's where you take the piece out of the kiln when it's still hot. It's usually around 1,000 degrees, and you put it into a bat of sawdust, and you cover it up then, and the sawdust burns off then, and you get kind of amazing colors and textures and tones and stuff in the clay. So it is actually a Japanese technique.
I have to say, that's fairly hot. 1,000 degrees. You know, you'd burn the hand off yourself if you weren't careful. So
you'd have to be careful. I mean, you're wearing protective equipment, and it's a bit. How would you describe it? I suppose it's a bit nerve-wracking, but very exciting and very dramatic to watch.
Now, what I love about the pieces is they are somewhat unique. You don't see this type of intricacy in other pieces of art. So how did you end up going into this particular area?
To get back at the beginning, I ended up going back into college as a kind of as a very mature student. And I got interested in ceramics after during my degree in Crawford, just that kind of gave me the taste for it.
And when you got into it, then how did you realize you had the ability to do all these little fiddly things?
I think, do you know what I'd say? I had a background in being a chef, so I trained as a chef early on in my career, and I was always, you know, I was always interested in kind of, you know, making and kind of the artistic side of things. Even when I was cooking, it was always that kind of flair for the kind of how things looked, and I think that's what kind of started me. Later on, then I actually did art classes with a woman down in Blarney, and I got into painting, and that's what kind of got me down the road to go into art, basically, or become an artist.
Now, the other thing about it, of course, I'm sure your family told you there's no money in that, and you for God's sake, would you go back to your chef and you make money out of it? But you've actually turned this into a business.
I have. Well, do you know, it's no, you're not going to make a fortune, and it's but it's more to do with quality of life than quantity, I suppose. But I do a bit of teaching as well. I do a bit of teaching ceramics as well, so that supplements my income. So, but yeah, it's not, you know, I'm not living the high life, but it's a comfortable enough existence, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but you're doing what you like as well, and that's the whole part
exactly.
of being an artist.
What
has been your favourite piece to date?
Well, they always say it is your last piece, but I actually I fired a piece there now yesterday. It was a neighbour of mine, she's after buying, or she was left her granduncle's farmhouse, and she's renovating it. And before they kind of started opening it, she asked me, would I do a replica of it? And so I took loads of photographs of it, and I drew the plan of it, and I used that then as my template. But I actually finished it yesterday. No, if she's listening now, she'll probably say he's actually forgetting about it, because it was 12 months since I started it. But eventually I got around to firing it. And it actually turned out beautiful. It looks like the house. It just there's something about it. It's really nice.
It's that personal connection that's very important to you, though, Brendan, isn't it? Because, you know, you're not just churning out cheap replicas here. These are intricate. As much passion went into this as went into the original house itself, by the sounds of it.
Oh, yes. I mean, like, it's just like you get the detail, if you can get the details into it, and it's that's what makes them individual. And like every house is different. And like, especially the older houses, like I've done kind of newer houses now, and you can still get a lot of character on them, but to the old houses, they're just losing the character. And it's just, it makes it so much easier to bring them to life. But tis a lovely thing to be able to do, and tis lovely to be able to stand back and look at it, and there's something very tactile about them. Mm.
What does Craft and Art Month mean for you? Is it just an opportunity to go out and showcase?
It is, yeah, and it's a great opportunity to meet other crafters as well, and other makers and designers and artists. Like, and it's basically your showcase. It's where you get to show off your work, and you get to meet customers as well. Like sometimes you don't meet, especially if you're selling work, you know, if you're selling work to a shop or a gallery or something, you don't actually get to meet the customers.
The buyer, absolutely. They just buy it in the shop, and you get to meet them. Now, you're down in Killa on the 16th of August, and you're saying people can build their own ceramic house. Now, you've been doing it donkey's years, so I'd imagine some of them will come out disastrously badly. But you might find another Brendan Ryan down there. So what are you hoping people can bring?
Well, I'm hoping that they'll just get a taste. It's a taster, you know, just get a feel for the clay and get a feel for you know, the work involved in it. And because like ceramics and clay in general is such a tactile thing, it's learning how to work with the material and how to just get the feel for it. And it's, as I said, it's a start, as a taster. And you'd be surprised. I mean, like, you might think, oh God, this is going to be terrible. And I'm going to be very bad at it. But you'd be surprised at how people can take to it, and it's just to get over the initial kind of the idea of handling it and stuff like that. But it's just
I always fancied myself as a bit of a Lego expert over the years. Maybe ceramics could be the next natural step for me. Brendan Ryan ceramics.com is the website, and it's down in Killa on the 16th of August. Brendan, an absolute pleasure. Mind yourself.
Thank you, Jonathan. Great talking to you.
So from Whitechurch, we go down to West Cork. Farraga are seaweed pressing and seaweed prints. They were established in February of 2022. Of course, Farraga means the sea, Osgailge. But what started as a hobby to make beautiful pieces of art has turned into a business. And the couple behind it are Orla Toomey and Armand Tessier, who live in Ballineen, and they're both with us now. You're very welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest February 22... you were bored during lockdown and decided to do something different, Orla. Am I right?
A little bit. It was probably a bit before that. I was still single at the time. And the way you have the sponsored ads on Instagram, you're scrolling away. And this certain ad piqued my interest. It was a UK business who were doing seaweed pressings. And I thought they were absolutely beautiful. And I was like, I think that's something I could try myself. So I gave it a go, and at that stage I was just using like heavy books, you know, encyclopedias to use the weight for pressing the seaweeds. And I started giving them to friends as gifts, and they loved them. And then I met Armand in 2021. Yeah. And I showed him some of the seaweeds that I had done, and he was super interested in
the work. I found it fantastic from the first look, really. It was the dolls, simple dolls pressed on paper, and I said, that is great, I can help you whenever you want. And we started to, you know, help, between brackets help, because it became a lot more than
well,
just a little.
I have to say, you became a couple. I mean, you were brought together by seaweed.
Not quite, no. We'd been on a few dates or whatever, and then I decided to show him the seaweed, and then our dates became visits to the beach, you know.
I'm saying this is a seaweed based relationship. I'm refusing to budge on that. I have to say, I mean, I didn't quite get it until I looked at it, and it is so beautiful. I mean, I'm not just saying that because I'm talking to you, but I never would have thought of this. Like, you walk along, you see seaweed, you give it a kick, you don't give it a second thought, but the colours, the vibrancy, the beauty of it, Orla.
Yeah, I know. It's actually, it's hard to believe, like, you know, that they can actually look, and they're so different, I suppose. The colours are all so different. The forms are all so different. And people often ask, like, have you changed the color? Like, have you added something, or are these watercolor paintings? But it's actually literally just the color of the seaweed. We don't alter them in any way.
They're so bright sometimes that it's difficult to imagine that it exists in nature. Like the pinks or the greens, sometimes they look fluorescent. And it's really, really surprising. And the shapes are new as well. So I think that's why people think they're abstract drawings sometimes, because the shapes are still unknown from us.
And that's it, Orla. I mean, it is the fact that there's no two the same. They're a little bit like humans. No two look alike. I mean, they may be from the same family, but they've grown in their own way and they've become unique. And as a result, when you press them, they take on a life of their own.
Yeah, you never get two the same at all. No. But it's also the way you I suppose place them on the paper as well. Like, you know, we do workshops with people, and it's really interesting to see how other people use them and interact with them, and I suppose create their own little almost like seaweed gardens, or it's just really interesting to see how different people manipulate the seaweed to make their own creations. So
I know, it's brilliant, and you can do other things with it as well. I've seen an Eiffel Tower in seaweed, which is something I didn't think I was going to expect. I'm guessing that you had a hand in that, did you?
That was all, Armand.
This is something that we started together with just simple shapes like a heart for Valentine's. And then we realized, okay, if we can make shapes, we can draw lines and write and, you know, like start doing plenty of things. And so, yeah, the Eiffel Towers was a really long work. It's more than 1,000 pieces of seaweed there and 150 hours of work.
Wow.
For a very exceptional event, the first ever EU Algae Summit organized by the European Commission. So we're well worth it, I would say.
It's a stunning piece. The question I would have is you know, when you're walking along, how do you, like, some seaweed, little bit like humans, it's a bit ugly. You wouldn't necessarily pick it up. I mean, do you have a particular type that you like when you go walking on the beach?
I suppose the ones I keep my eye out for, there's a couple. One is red combweed or plocamium, which is has quite fine little leaves, I suppose. It has a quite little hooks, like it's quite, when it's on the paper, it's quite filigree like and there's another one called beautiful fanweed, which is, they're both kind of pinky red in color, but the fanweed is a more dense kind of shaped leaf, a beautiful seaweed.
There isn't a wall that wouldn't be made better by these. They're just stunning, and they're very, very reasonable priced as well. They're all on the website, farigawestcork.bigcartel.com is the detail if you want to go and have a look at that. How are you guys getting involved with the Cork Craft and Design Week?
Well, we started this year. We knew Cork Craft and Design before as a shop, as customers, let's say, and then we went to the Stamp Festival, and then we started to know about the Craft and Design Shop, and we just sent an email saying that we'd love to be a part of it, and they said yes. So we started to have our product stocked there. It was also the occasion to participate this year to the Stamp Festival. So the one that we were visiting last year as customers, we participated to it as makers, and we were delighted with that. We participated most of the events that they offer. And it's a great community. Really.
Oh yeah, you've definitely gotten sucked into it. Two workshops taking place in the beautiful backdrop of Ahagista on the 17th and 24th of August. The first part, I believe, involves a little bit of foraging on the beach. You'll have to tell them that the brown seaweed. No, we can't do anything with that. That's just a lost cause. Only pretty seaweed. But honestly, I would recommend people go and have a look at the website, farragatwestcork.bigcartel.com. I have to say, first time I've ever met a couple that bonded over seaweed, but I'm glad you did, because it has resulted in beautiful works of art. Orla Toomey and Armand Tessier of Farragut, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
And that is it for our Red Business for this week. Indeed, for the summer, we are taking a break for the month of August. Marita Kelly was the producer on this episode. Red Business in Focus, with thanks to Cork's local enterprise offices. Our video series is up and available right now on redfm.ie. Enjoy the break. I will talk to you in September.
Get the Red Business podcast every week with Jonathan Healy at redfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts.